listening to B2B Tech Talk with Ingram Micro, the place to learn about new technology and technological advances before they become mainstream. This podcast is sponsored by Ingram Micro's Imagine Next. It's not about the destination. It's about going someplace you never thought possible. Go to imaginenext.ingrammicro.com to find out more. Let's get into it.
Welcome to B2B Tech Talk with Ingram Micro. I'm your host, Shelby Skirhawk, and our guest today is Larry Hahn, Director of Channels Digital Services for Schneider Electric. Larry, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate being here today with you, Shelby.
Yeah. Well, today we are talking about how the definition of data center is changing. So the term data center kind of means different things to different people. And we're going to explore that in this episode. But first, Larry, will you just kind of level set and tell us about Schneider Electric and what the company is best known for?
Yep. So first I'll start off and kind of highlight what we're not. So we don't make elevators.
Yeah.
And we're not a shipping company. So you might have seen Schneider in those two environments. But what we actually do is we actually really focus on energy management from plant, so where the energy is actually created, all the way down to plug. There's a number of different areas where we focus. We have a very strong focus in industrial automation. So where all these different things we consume are being made, we provide different offers around that. And then the other area of our business is energy management, which is actually where I fit. I'm part of what they call the Secure Power Division, which is actually, for probably most of your listeners, it's best known as APC or American Power Conversion. So we really work on providing the solutions to help our partners in that area. But one other thing that we actually are also well known for is sustainability. Actually, Schneider last year was voted the most sustainable company in the world. And we've actually been doing this for about 15 years. And if you go to the Schneider Electric website, you'll see some of the commitments that we've made. In fact, we just, our original commitments around net zero and carbon neutrality were based off of 2030. In fact, we just brought them into 2025. So something we're very, very passionate about, and their listeners are probably starting to hear more about. So that's another area where we can provide value back to the partner channel.
That's a surprising distinction from, a company that deals with power, energy. That's quite a feat.
Yeah, it's, if you think about sustainability or even just reducing the amount of carbon, batteries are a huge driver of that, right? So it only makes sense that we'd have some specialization in that area because, we're kind of a contributor to the carbon footprint that's out there today.
Right. Well, so you mentioned APC. It's well known for its UPSs or an uninterruptible power service. Also, APC racks, cooling, all those kind of physical infrastructure things. But data centers look very different nowadays. So I heard you on a video cite Gartner's estimation that by 2025, 75% of all data will be outside the data center. So what is the definition of today's data center?
Yeah, so I like to position it as really the infrastructure that provides whatever the experience that customers or that company is providing to their customers. So that could be what we typically think of as this big room with raised floor and rows of racks with big UPSs and big cooling units. But it can also be a single rack that's sitting in the corner that provides the full infrastructure. It really just depends on the size of the company or even the use case. So really, I think the definition of data center just comes down to all the things that are needed to provide that solution or that experience that the company is trying to provide to their customers.
Yeah. In that same video, you mentioned an example of our kind of analogy of Starbucks. Tell us a little bit about that and what does an effective digital platform really mean to us?
Yeah, so I always try to bring examples that kind of make it real in regards to what we do. So in that video or that example, which is kind of my go-to, what I was trying to get across is really there's a couple changes that are happening in our environment. The first is just the expectation of us as consumers. In that example, I talked about how in the past I would go into a Starbucks and I'd be more than happy to sit there and wait for a coffee to be brewed and or to get whatever I was going to eat, a muffin or whatever it might be. might be. And in some cases, that experience can be 25, 30 minutes. Where today, you know, through technology, I have an app on my phone. I can actually order on the go. And my expectation is when I walk in the door, everything I order is going to be available. And if it's not, then I'm disappointed. So that's the first thing is, as consumers, we expect everything to be available and be instantaneous. But the other aspect of it is really just the importance of data and how that's actually driving our interactions. So in that example, there's actually two ways that data is being used. So data is being used from a consumer standpoint that we have access to what's available to us and we can order what we want so we can customize what our experience is. But then from a business standpoint, businesses now also have access to how we're consuming their products or services, and they can actually plan how they actually support that. And they can actually provide unique experiences based off of whatever that region would be. So the idea with that is, then if you tie that back into, you know, a digital platform, what we do is really insurance policy for that IT equipment that's providing that experience. By having access to data, you know, we've designed our digital platform to provide flexibility to either the customers or the partners that are supporting those customers, so they can kind of pick and choose the journey that makes the most sense to monitor that environment. So, you know, if you think about that, data needs to be available. Well, the UPSs that protect that have to be available. And in some cases, those environments aren't really set up to be managed effectively. In that Starbucks example, the barista is not an IT person. So if the UPS goes down, they're not going to be able to take orders, fulfill them. That whole business shuts down. So that, you know, they need people or partners to help them with that. So we set up our platform to enable those partners to provide that service to them, regardless of what they look like. And they could be full managed service providers, so they do it all themselves, or, you know, they could also just be, if they're still making that transition, they can leverage us. So to me, a true flexible digital platform is basically it'll adjust to the environment that the customer has, and it'll allow the partner to provide value to that customer in the way that makes sense for them.
Yeah. Well, expanding then on this idea that the barista is not the IT person, can you speak to, I guess, what the importance is then? Because I get the feeling that, you know, there's a lot of people in that position that IT staffs are stretched thin. So when something goes down and the battery backup, you know, kicks on, they aren't able to do what they do best because they're trying to figure out what's going on, you know, with the technology. So how does Schneider Electric Products and APC, I mean, how does that help people do what they do best?
Yeah. So just back to that, you know, just if you're kind of playing off the example we gave, you know, a lot of times when we talk to customers or even partners on behalf of their customers, the common theme is that, one, they want to get out of the management of the UPS, you know, manage the UPS business. They just don't want to do that anymore. But the other thing is, and you kind of touched on it, a lot of companies today are struggling to keep up with what they need to do best, which is provide that experience. And you think of IT, it's an enabler for that experience. So they want their resources focusing on that. They don't want them going out and having to replace a battery or even be concerned about the fact that the UPS is going to be available if the power goes out. So they're looking for help with that. So what we design, how we bring value to the customers of these partners is, one, we were able to actually take that off their plate. And by doing that, there's actually a couple things that come out of it. The first is the obvious one, which is they get resource availability that they can then allocate towards things that bring more value to their customer set. And that could be applications, whatever it might be. But the other thing that happens, and it might be implied, but not necessarily thought of, but we actually drive cost savings into those customers because they're more efficient and managed in their environment. They're not rolling trucks maybe all the time. They're not reacting. Because a lot of cases, they don't have the right policies in place to support the UPS. I mean, they have them, but they're not thinking about them. So they're reacting. So that UPS is down. They might have to go to the site a couple times. They might have to order a battery at market price versus pre-negotiated prices. So by working with them through their partners, we can actually standardize their support costs and actually drive costs out of their model. So it's removing business friction, but then also helping them to help their bottom line in regards to bringing consistency to their management.
What do you mean by the right policies in place?
So if you think about a support process, they'll have a support process for their networking switches. So if a switch goes down, they know who's going to do it. They're probably actually monitoring it. They might even be able to get ahead of what might be happening, but they could diagnose it very quickly and figure it out. A lot of cases, when it comes to UPSs or power management, the customers have them. But they might even be connected, but they're not looking at them. So they might not realize that the battery in that UPS is actually dead and they needed to be replaced. So they haven't put in place the steps that need to happen in order for that to be available. So that's what I mean by policy. And that's where a partner can come in and really do that. Because a lot of cases, they're already managing that environment, you know, outsourced IT almost for the customer. They can now actually bring in the UPS management and tie it into the overall availability of the business. That's what I meant when I say they don't have the right policies.
Got it. Well, so how has Schneider Electric really evolved its offerings then to meet this new definition of the data center? Or by the way, I go back and forth between data center and data center. I don't know what the generally accepted term is, but depending on which way the wind blows, I'll say data center. So how has that evolved?
Yeah, so I'll kind of touch back on one of the things I mentioned before. One of the things that we're trying to help drive through our partners for the customers is what I like to refer to as data-driven business outcomes. So when we look at how we design, and specifically, I'm going to talk specifically to our software and digital services, but I can sprinkle a little bit in regards to the hardware as well. But when we use that as kind of our driver, the data is really the currency. You know, we're designing our offers and our support programs in such a way to enable the partners to get access to that data so they can actually help the customers get to the business outcome that they want. And I kind of referenced a little bit earlier in a previous question, but we're doing that by building flexibility into the offers. So, you know, typically when we have an engagement with a partner on behalf of their customer, we typically talk to them about three things. The first is just visibility into the environment. Because another thing that we run into is a lot of cases, customers don't actually know what they have, let alone the health of the devices. They don't even know where they are. So our cloud-based monitoring software, EcoStruxure ITXR, provides that visibility. And then from there, it's really two additional questions. And those are basically, who's going to monitor that environment and who's going to service it? So depending on the answer of those two questions, and that answer could be the partner's going to do both, the partner's going to monitor, but they're going to leverage Schneider to do service, or maybe the partner's going to monitor and the customer's going to service. But depending on the answer of those two questions, we have different solutions that fit into that to provide that. So that's where the flexibility comes in. And the nice thing about it is our platform is designed off of all those services work off the same backend gateway. So it's easy to turn on and turn off the different services. So they could start with one solution and then very easily pivot to another one if depending on maturity of the partner or just changes in the business environment. For instance, it could be that a partner starts off the engagement and they don't have feet on the street in one of the locations where the customers and the IT equipment is. Well, they could leverage us to do that. But then maybe they invest in that area and now they do. So then they could switch off and actually do it themselves. So that's where we bring the flexibility into. So we're always designing our offers from the idea of being able to enable our partners to pivot and actually answer, you know, provide that value. But the other thing that we're doing, it's not just offers, it's also the support around that. So you think about software and services, you know, if a partner's going to do that, we have to enable them. So we have to train them on all the data that we're providing to them, how to use that data, and then also work with them on how to bring that into their business, right? So a mature MSP or managed service provider is already going to have their processes in place of how they're going to manage tickets and how they're going to actually provide the SLAs that they sign up to with their customer. It's our job to be able to figure out how to snap into that. We're not going to ask them to do a different process. We need to align to that. So we have to provide the support with that. So and we do that in two ways. We have an overlay team, which is my team, which actually goes and supports the partners in regards to that front end or, you know, the conversation with the customer. We also have a customer success team that works on the back end with the operations people, the ones that execute the offer or the service to make sure they have what they need. And then lastly, we have a program where we provide, I'll describe it as investment. We call it a lifecycle rebate, but basically it's an investment back into the partner. So as they grow their business, we're actually helping them to fund that. And they can either go to the bottom line or they can use it to go and expand their service. But, you know, we're trying to provide from soup to nuts all the things that would be needed for those partners to be successful. And that that's really driven by them. Like, we position it as a collaborative experience. There is no end point. It's always going to evolve. And everything that we bring to market was basically dictated or guided to us by our partners. They told us what they needed and we developed it for them.
Well, returning back to what we had started talking about, which was sustainability. So where does Schneider play in this space? I mean, so being the most sustainable company in the world, that's a huge feat. I mean, how does that happen? Can you share just some insight of how you've been able to achieve that goal and the importance of it for Schneider Electric?
Yeah, so it really started 15 years ago when our CEO, Jean-Pascal Tracroix, basically made a commitment that we're going to be a leader in this space. And he started aligning our company to go and really kind of support or go down that path. So today we actually have a consulting division, which will work with customers to help them to one, identify what's the right sustainable goal for them, and then actually put the plan in place to go and execute that. So that's at a very high level. And we're in the process now of taking that and trying to bring it down into specific for our area of focus into our market, right? So a lot of stuff you see or read about around ESG, it's hard to quantify or to, I like to say, make real. So like, what does it really mean for me, what I do day to day? What we're working on now is actually focusing specifically, again, the definition of data center. I'm going to use the definition that's more in the distributed edge because that's typically where I play. There's very defined motions around large data centers, driving efficiency. And it really started with like PUE measurements and making sure that the data center is as efficient as possible. Well, sustainability kind of snaps into that. But where it's less defined is actually in that distributed edge. You think about those smaller UPSs. Well, Schneider and our APC in North America, we have close to 5 million connectable UPSs that are installed today. Each one of those represents, a carbon footprint, right? So what we're trying to do is help our channel partners and then their customers to rationalize what that looks like and put together things like sustainable returning programs. So as they go and upgrade, actually provide a way for them to sustainably just recycle or reuse those devices and get a green certificate so that they can show like that they're doing that. So that's a very simple thing. Another thing that we're looking on is actually through our software, being able to quantify what is your how much embedded carbon do you have through this UPSs? And then as we move forward, actually help them manage that through managing the environment. So a way that could manifest itself is by getting ahead of potential power failure or batteries down. We can anticipate when that's going to happen. So if a partner is doing a truck roll to maybe go fix a networking switch, we could actually make sure the battery's there at the same time so they can replace the battery. That way, the UPS would be available if something happens. It's not being done after there's been a failure. So we basically have actually driven costs that amount in two ways. One, we do one truck roll. So by only doing one, reduce the amount of carbon we're putting in the environment from the truck going, right? But the second thing is we avoided that downtime. So we're eliminating waste as part of that. So part of what we're trying to do is actually quantify those things. There's documentations that we have to provide that actually shows like how much carbon was used to create our UPSs. And there's three or four categories that go into that. But then there's two other categories that are part of that too, which is usage and then disposal. That usage and disposal number that's in there is actually an assumption today. So what we're working on is actually to quantify that. And then all ties back from a sustainability standpoint, as these companies make these commitments, as they look at their distributed environments, we're going to enable them to basically show how they're meeting those commitments in those environments with what we're doing with our recycling programs and also with our software and services.
Okay. Yeah. And that's fascinating because, being sustainable and having an eye on that, it's not necessarily cheap. I mean, there's a cost to doing that. And so, Schneider being really committed to that, that's fascinating.
Yeah, and the thing is you'll see more and more companies are going to be forced to do this because the regulations are going to be in place to do that. I mean, what I talked about are the tangible things we're doing, but the other stuff that we're working on is even just education. So, like, where do I get started? Like, how do I do this? We're actually in the process of also developing a SaaS kind of mid-market tool, which would help companies to basically they would put in their electric bills and some of the other things related to that, and and then they can kind of pick a good, better, best, how to go forward solution. So some of the stuff we hear is not, it's just like, yeah, I'm hearing about this, but I don't even know what to do. So, you know, it's also providing that guidance to help them down that journey.
Right, right. Well, as we start to wrap up our episode today, we always ask our guests the same final question. And that's, where do you see technology going in the next year? So it can be within this space or something that broader that you're keeping an eye on. But where are we going to be in 2023, Larry?
So I kind of touched on it before. I really think you're going to start to see data becoming more and more important. Not so much the brands of who provides the technology, but it's really the experience that comes with it. So I'll talk, it'll be a little bit adjacent to what we're talking about today, but you know, one of the things that Schneider's working on is what we call the prosumer space. That's really looking at like the power grid and really all the way down to consumers. So as you, going to be 2023, you know, it's going to start to happen in 2023. It's probably the next couple of years, but you're going to start to see where individuals are going to be creating their own power source. So it could be solar power, it could be a generator, whatever it might be, storing that power in their house, and then actually having their house become digitized. Schneider's actually working on solutions around that. But the whole idea of basically that, you know, we as consumers will start to be self-sustainable. I see that trend happening, and that's going to be all driven by technology. So I think that the bigger answer to it is, if you can just imagine everything we do today, all the experience we have, if it's manual, at some point it's going to be digitized, and technology is going to be a driver of that. In some cases, some of that technology hasn't even been invented yet. But I'm very bullish on the idea that, you know, basically everything we do is going to be digitized and data driven.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for listeners who have any questions about what we talked about today or want to find out more, how can they reach out?
Yep. So there's actually two different ways they can do it. The first is they can go visit the APC brand store at ingrammicro.com. The other way they can do it, if they want a more defined interaction, is they can actually email the power team at Ingram for APC, and it's APC power team, all one word, at ingrammicro.com.
Excellent, Larry. Well, I appreciate the time and insight today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Shelby. I really appreciate it.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in and subscribing to B2B Tech Talk with Ingram Micro. If you like this episode or have a question, please join the discussion on Twitter with the hashtag B2B Tech Talk. Until next time, I'm Shelby Skirhawk.
You've been listening to B2B Tech Talk with Ingram Micro. This episode was sponsored by Ingram Micro's Imagine Next. B2B Tech Talk is a joint production with Sweetfish Media and Ingram Micro. Ingram Micro production handled by Laura Burton and Christine Fan. To not miss an episode, subscribe today on your favorite podcast platform.